fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 12th day of October, year of our Lord 2018, welcome to John Moore Show. I'm going to dedicate today's show to my lovely wife, Dr. Moore, that today is our anniversary, our wedding anniversary. 33 years ago today, I married the lovely, beautiful, intelligent, articulate woman, Marianne Rash, who is now Marianne Moore and has been for 33 years. Good morning, and thank you, dear, for being my wife. Prepper tip of the day. I encourage all of you to inventory your winter gear. That would be boots, socks, hats, gloves, underwear, outerwear. Make sure you've got what you need, that it's in excellent working condition, that it fits properly, and so forth. Winter is nigh upon us. We're already getting low temperatures, only 7 or 8 degrees above freezing here in South Central Missouri. So that's your prepper tip of the day. Get your winter gear all squared away and ready to go. This is the hour I look forward to every week, where we talk about emergency survival communications. And we do have a patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable in not only all the nuances of ham radio, but radio frequency engineering and electronics in general. And we will have open lines here at 800-313-9443. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning, and congratulations on your anniversary. 33 years, that's great.
Thank you, sir. It's been a journey, and it continues to be a journey. And that's what I wrote in the card that I wrote for my wife yesterday. It's a journey. You make your plans, and then life happens. That's typically what happens to all of us, and certainly Dr. Moore and I are no exception. Tom, I was looking at some aerial footage of what's left down there in Florida following Hurricane Michael, and square miles just were there. You can see the foundations where buildings used to be, and maybe 1 out of 20 structures remaining more or less intact. And I was looking at these structures that were not, had no major damage that you could even see. And I'm thinking, man, somebody did some great engineering when they built those structures. They had steel roofs. I couldn't really, from the footage, couldn't tell if they were steel-reinforced concrete or not. But I suspect that there was some serious engineering that went into the buildings that survived winds that were approaching 200 miles an hour, according to President Trump. There were times when the winds were approaching 200 miles an hour. But people in those areas right now are struggling with no landline telephones working, no cell phones working, leaving basically ham radio operators. If there's any communication at all taking place in those affected areas, it's going to be ham radio, right, Tom?
That's exactly correct. It's going to be battery-operated and generator-powered systems, and hopefully many people have their generators available under those circumstances. But that's what happens, John. The ham radio operators are left, and, you know, sometimes even the law enforcement equipment is not working properly. And with ham radio operators, everybody should know that they are trained in putting their equipment on the air, powering it up, keeping it operating under all circumstances, all weather conditions, while the law enforcement radio equipment relies on service technicians. If they have a problem, they have to call somebody in to repair it. And that really can leave those
and
people
hanging. And how do you call them? And how do you call them in?
Yeah, and how do you call them in? Now, you know, John, when the cell phone system is out, as well as the landlines, that's a really, really bad situation if you can't be in touch with a ham operator. So I tell a lot of people that if not everybody is into ham radio and they don't even want to get started, they might be interested in it a little bit from a distance, but they don't necessarily want to get involved. I tell those folks that they should at least find a ham radio operator that's nearby in their area that could help them in the event something did happen where there was no communications. They could go to that person's home, and hopefully their home is still intact, but they could help to get messages out and maybe check on their friends and family in other areas, or let them know that they're okay and so on. So it's always good to know where the local ham radio operators are in your general area. It's an important thing.
Well,
to
there's
do.
Two ways to find it. First of all, these ham radio operators have a license issued by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. Those you can look up by zip code all the ham operators in the country, so you can look up your own zip code, the zip codes that are near you, and find the local ham radio operators. The other way is just to drive around and look for the antennas that appear to be something that the military would have, because they're so unusual and so large and so technical. That's what I did up in Seattle. I drove around my daughter's neighborhood, and I found a gentleman who had an antenna above his home that was about 40 feet across. And I looked him up on the FCC website. I called him on the telephone. I made an appointment to talk to him, and he agreed to be the point of contact for my daughter, because my daughter is not and will never become a ham radio operator, let alone get the equipment. But his home is walking distance from my daughter's home. So I know that I can talk to him, and he in turn will get a message to my daughter, because I introduced my daughter to this gentleman. And he's a guy, I would say, late 70s, early 80s. He has a very comprehensive collection, by the way, Tom, of telegraph keys. Probably 30 or so of various vintages. But that's there's different ways to skin a cat, and that's one way I chose, is to introduce, meet the gentleman in person, get his call sign, find determine compatible frequencies that can be talked on, so that in the event of a crisis, my daughter and I can have some communication. There's lots of ways to get this done, isn't there, Tom?
Yeah, there really is, and you did it probably the best way. identify somebody in the area, and look, if there's an antenna that's 40 feet across, John, that guy is a very serious ham radio operator. And then he has a telegraph key collection, so he's been at it for a long, long time. And he's well-versed in all modes of communications, and he would definitely be able to put something on the air and help out. So that was probably about the best way you could have done that, and it's really nice that he's that close to your daughter's home, so they'd be able to contact
walk,
each other.
A five-minute walk.
Yeah, right. That's perfect. That's just absolutely perfect.
Right.
And so that's what you need to do when you know, John, it's when the cell phone systems go out as well. Those are really pretty rugged towers, and the infrastructure for that is really good equipment that doesn't normally go down. They have backup generators for every cell site. They have battery backups. They have everything you could ever need. And for all of that to shut down, that's a very, very serious situation.
It is.
Boy, you know, you want to see some people get frustrated, just have the cell phone coverage go out in an area, and they can't do any texting or talking or anything. And it ruins their lives. I've seen it happen.
Yes. Well, there's a opposite side to this coin. Yeah, that's the portable trailer-mounted cell phone sites that can be brought in by truck and set up and operating in an hour or two to have cellular telephones once again be working in an affected area like this. Now, we talked about this the hurricane before, Michael, how when the storms are approaching, the utility companies, which would be telephone and electric primarily, but also natural gas, of course, they have their own internal communications to put electric repair crews from areas and nearby other states possibly. And I've seen these convoys of trucks and men headed to affected areas. And, of course, that happened with Hurricane Michael also, where the convoys were activated. This was a fast storm. They only had about 2 days' notice. But typically, they have staging areas just outside the affected area where they'll park all their trucks. They'll get hotel rooms if it's going to be overnight and wait for the storm to finish. And depending on the storm, they may use that staging area as a base camp, go into the affected area, work for maybe a 12-hour day, then go back to their base camp at the hotel outside the affected area, and then repeat. And they may do that for a week or 2 weeks or a month, whatever it takes to get the power up and running, get the telephones up and running, and so forth. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. I know even in the rural area where I live that the electric co-op has sent crews to other states where there were storms that knocked out power and things like that. So they've taken a lot of their linemen and equipment to those other areas to help out. And that's usually what happens. And they, you know, they even have trouble sometimes with communications. I don't know if they have some sort of a national calling frequency or something that they use in all their radio equipment, but I do know that sometimes they have trouble talking from one crew to another because the equipment isn't set up for that. It's usually set up and used in their own local area. So I really don't know how they get around that problem, but I'm sure they've got something worked out.
Well,
anyway,
typically what I see is there'll be 10 or 20 or 30 trucks from one company en route. So they have their own internal communications, which would not be an issue. There would be issues talking to other power companies that have come from other locations that they have to have workarounds, which may come down to runners. Basically, what we did in the Civil War, you know, have a man physically go to deliver a message or get a message from whoever needs to be communicated with. not much different than what was done in Roman times. I have runners communicate physically, picking up and dropping off messages.
Right. Well, they do what they have to do to get the job done. But anyway, it's really good to plan everything in advance, and that's what the ham operators do. We have regular calling frequencies that we will use on a national basis, and one of those is 146.52 megahertz. And when I travel, I leave a radio on that frequency, and occasionally I'll put a call on there and see if there's anybody around and talk to somebody for a while. And I'll tell you, John, in the old days, you could drive for miles and not be able to get anybody. And now there's quite a few more ham radio operators than in the past. And if you are on the interstate highway and call on that frequency, I'd say about 75-80% of the time I'll get a call from somebody who's listening. So it's pretty reliable, and you usually can get somebody on that frequency.
Absolutely. Well, if you got a question or comment about emergency survival communications, give us a call at 800-313-9443. I frequently say, Tom, we have what appears to be the luxury of time to do these things. That may be a complete illusion. Now, Hurricane Michael was a bit unusual for several reasons. First of all, how quickly it showed up and made a strike. Usually we have about a 1 week notice of these storms making their way across the Atlantic Ocean. Well, this one popped up in the Gulf of Mexico, so it wasn't halfway around the planet. It was only a few hundred miles away. Started out as a tropical storm. No big deal. We have tropical storms all the time. And then it became a Category 1 hurricane. And then as it starts moving towards the Gulf Coast, it became a Category 2. And I knew it was going to make landfall. And the speculation was, well, it'll be either a Category 2 or Category 4, but more likely a Category 3. And then just before landfall, within, I would say, less than somewhere between 8 and 12 hours, it bumped up to a Category 4 with winds reaching Category 5 strength, obviously. Now, when you're up to near 200 miles an hour, I think you're off the charts crazy in terms of strength. The saving grace for that whole area was the storm did not linger like those other storms have done, dumping 4 feet of rain. It just kept moving, and that prevented a storm from being even worse than what it was. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. That's right. And but of course, it was strong enough at 200 miles an hour, John. That, boy, that's some wind. And I would assume that's what blew the antennas down for the cell phones, unless it was power outages. It's hard to say, but normally the cell phone systems will actually continue working throughout a storm like that. But in this case, it was a pretty hard hit. So the ham operators will spring up left and right, and they'll be providing the communications. So we'll see here in the next few days just what type of systems they were able to get on the air. And most of these men and women are prepared, and they do prepare in advance. They know they have to have that equipment ready to go on a moment's notice. And then, of course, John, we always use the equipment in just general communications, talking and nothing emergency-related, but just using it on a regular day-to-day basis so we keep all that equipment in operating condition. And it can be switched over to emergency communications almost instantly. And I'm sure that's what's happened there in the South where they're affected by all this weather.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we knew there'd be loss of life. It's so far, loss of life attributed to Hurricane Michael has been minimal. Losing six people is obviously tragic. On one hand, on the other, it could have been far worse. Obviously, clearly, it could have been far worse. It didn't have to. The loss of life was needless. With that warning, people could have and should have evacuated. They're now deceased. We have a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com? Or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, back here. More here on Friday the 12th of October. We're having some issues, growing pains, I guess you could say, with my website. It looks like it may be down right now. We're supposed to launch my new improved website today, but it's a work in progress. So I apologize if you can't access my website right now. Hopefully by the end of the business day today, it'll be up and running with my new improved website. So check it out later today or possibly tomorrow. This is Emergency Survival Communications Hour we have every Friday, visiting with Tom Berryhill. You may be wondering yourself, well, how do I fit into this? How can I talk to my adult children who live two or three states away, or 2,000 miles away, or 3,000 miles away? This is a big country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, approximately 3,000 miles. There are ways you can do that. There are. If you have the skills, if you have the equipment, and of course, in the case of ham radio, a ham radio license. You don't want to be violating the law, do you? I don't think so. It can be done. And talk about peace of mind. If there is a severe crisis, the telephones aren't working, you have adult children and grandchildren 3,000 miles away. Human nature is for your mind to immediately leap to a worst-case scenario. That's the way our brains work. It's just an unfortunate circumstance of being a human being. I went through this the first time during the Tet Offensive 1968. We couldn't get information. We knew that things were much worse than they were. That's just human nature. So that's why we're talking about this. We're putting the word out here. We're educating. We're encouraging. We're informing. Helping people to understand, yes, they can do this. It's not rocket science. It's simple. We routinely have 8, 9, 10-year-old boys and girls getting their ham radio license, don't we, Tom?
At the American Radio Relay League's website right now, and anybody can do this, it's ARRL.org. And they have news articles on the front page, and one of them is amateur radio assets active as category for Hurricane Michael makes landfall. So that lists all the different networks that are on the air, and of course one of them is the Hurricane Watch Net, and they are on 14.325 megahertz. That's the 20 meter band, and then on the 40 meter band they are on 7.268 megahertz. Now both of those would be single sideband. And that's why I always encourage anybody that doesn't elect to become a ham radio operator, they should at least, at a minimum, have a shortwave receiver that's capable of single sideband operation, because that's the only way you'll be able to listen to what's going on with these ham radio networks. But that's where you want to tune right now. If you're not in that area, that will have very wide range coverage. The 14.325 megahertz will be heard in many cases worldwide, while the 7.268 will be heard regionally and through most of the country, especially at night. But during the day, hundreds of miles. In fact, I'm sure we'd be able to hear them here in Missouri with the proper antenna. So it's not hard to listen in on these networks and see what's taking place, and you'll be up to speed, and you'll have the information a lot faster than any of the news networks that will put it on television later that evening. It's a great way to keep up with things. And then, John, of course, in those local areas where this storm has hit, a lot of the point-to-point short-range communications will be done on the 2-meter ham radio band, and that's in the 146 megahertz range. There'll be some frequencies set aside. They usually set up networks very quickly, and they'll use a local repeater if it's on the air, or they'll set up direct point-to-point communications on a specific frequency. Sometimes they will use the one I mentioned earlier, 146.52. It's a good one that everybody knows about. But they'll have that running, and if you're closer in, you can hear a lot of that activity too. But of course, if you're that close, you're part of the storm. You're right there in it, so it's handy to have a scanner to hear what's going on with these ham radio operators. If everything else is out, you'll at least be able to hear them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I use the phrase peace of mind frequently on this show. Knowing what's really going on is peace of mind. Rarely will the actual event exceed your fear of what might be going on. And of course, that could happen, of course. But most of the time, your fear will be far in excess of reality. And a dose of reality is helpful, because even if it's really bad, it gives you information that you don't have otherwise, such as, for example, a bridge is underwater. Well, then you have to think, well, how can I get around this? And this happens in our area quite a bit, Tom, where we have what we call low water bridges, basically a slab of concrete on top of galvanized steel pipes that carry the water. So you need to know, you can't plan your workaround until you know what you have to work around, can you?
That's exactly how it works. Yes, and those bridges go underwater around here all the time. It doesn't always take a lot of rain to make it happen either.
Hold it. We have a break. We'll be right back.
A wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we are back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 12th of October. My website is libertyman.com. We got some growing pains. As of a few minutes ago, the website's down. The new, improved, beautiful version is supposed to be up and running today. Hopefully, it will be. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen it yet myself. But I have high expectations that the LibertyMan.com will be up and running before the end of the business day today, Friday, the 12th day of October. Once it is up and running, you'll still be able to find the things that have always been there. It's supposed to be laid out in a more manageable fashion and something we've been looking forward to, compatible with smartphones, which... the previous website was not very easy to navigate with smartphones, and we're working too diligently to make that no longer an issue. And, of course, energy claims will be available for sale at my new website, just like they've always been. marvelous healing devices. You may already have one. I know hundreds of my listeners already have one. And those same hundreds of people probably have a sibling, an adult child, maybe a parent who has issues with arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, somebody who's not getting a great night's sleep. We got the gift-giving Christmas season coming up here pretty soon. What are you waiting for? Help the person that you care about get their life back with an energy cleaner and a mattress pad to go with it. Only $285 shipping included, American zip codes. The mattress pads, yeah, they vary in price depending on what you get. Twin size, full, queen, king, California king, the handy travel size. I just shipped out a travel size pad yesterday. Everything's right there at my website, which should be back up and running by the end of the day today at thelibertyman.com. And I have a toll-free air line 24 hours a day, and here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications. That's what we're talking about. If you don't understand this and would like to, if you got a specific question about a piece of equipment, about training, about ham radio, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Well, Tom, we never know how this is going to play out. I just got word from one of our listeners, a ham radio operator down in Texas. He goes to the coffee shop on Friday mornings, and he plugs in this radio show into the public address system at the coffee shop. And the men and women are down there listening right now in Texas to you and I talk about emergency survival communications. And, of course, there's always side conversations commenting on what we're talking about, these men and women wanting to put in their two bits as to what they may be doing, what works for them, what doesn't work, maybe talking about equipment they may have for sale or equipment they want to buy. You never know what's going to come out of these discussions, do you, Tom?
No, you really don't, Johnny. You shared that email with me. I think that's the one you're talking about, the gentleman in Texas. And I believe he said two of the people were inspired by these Friday morning conversations on ham radio, and they actually went forward and got their ham license. So two more people on the air because of this. Now, that told me right there it's all worth it. I know you feel the same way, John, but... So there's two more people, and then that same gentleman was talking about perhaps starting an HF network, and I will be in touch with him. I am going to contact him, and I don't know. I don't have enough time in the day, John, to get it all finished, but that is something. I don't know if I could actually run the thing or be a net control station maybe once in a while, but if there's interest in starting some sort of an HF network like that, I'd certainly be willing to get involved on a part-time basis and get something going. That would be quite interesting. So I'm going to be in touch with that gentleman, and we'll discuss it further and see what happens.
Outstanding. Well, one thing leads to another. It's always fun to see how things play out, such as what's coming up, and it'll be 4 weeks from today. I will be in Dallas. And I know from past experience, Tom, there was something I was thinking about I wanted to pass along to people. You know, Vince Vannelli had, I think, seven of these expos down there in southwest Missouri. And at one of these expos, I came across two couples. They only live about a 3 to 4 minute ride from each other here in Missouri. They didn't know. One couple didn't know the other couple existed, but they met each other at the expo, and they found out that they have basically identical knowledge, identical beliefs, identical goals in terms of wanting to be prepared, which may or may not have ever happened if it wasn't for being at that expo. And I know this happens, similar things happen at all these groups that get together, whether it's a smaller local group or a bigger national situation like it's going to be in Dallas a month from this week, the 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Hilton Hotel at the Dallas Airport. And the same thing's happening right now in Texas, where these men and women are at this coffee shop listening to you and I talk. It all fits together, and it all we all end up helping each other, don't we?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. And I was really impressed and glad to hear that it resulted in two additional ham radio operators now on the ham radio band. So that's great. And then those people are getting their start. And I always explain it as a somewhat of an apprenticeship. You get on the air, yes, you're just getting started, but there's so many other ham operators that have additional skills, and they're willing to share and talk to you on the air and in private meetings and help you get your equipment tuned up just right, antennas adjusted just right. And many of us are hands-on and learn by doing. So when you have help like that willing to come to your station and help you get that wiring hooked up just absolutely correct so there's no problems, and learn how to make these adjustments, and you'll see what equipment the other ham operators bring with them to the test equipment needed, and they'll bring that with them, and you get to learn about how that test equipment works. That's really quite an education and something you don't soon forget. Yes, and then you can continue on. You may want to purchase some similar type of equipment, and they'll say, well, I bought it here, and it costs this much, and you can start planning your budget to acquire that test equipment. It's always very wise to have at least some test equipment and the proper tools to make these adjustments and modifications, repairs, and so on. So you just have to get started. Getting the ham radio license, yeah, just getting the ham radio license is the first step. It's not hard to do. I'd say less than a month of study, and I really think in about 3 weeks, if somebody would dedicate a couple of evenings a week for 3 weeks, they'd be able to learn the basics good enough to pass that test to get their technician license, and then they're off and running. They can advance
from
there.
That's right. We got a caller on hold here. We had a regular caller, Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, folks. I took my horn a little bit. I went and took my test Saturday. I passed both the tech and the dental. I'm going to start studying for the extra, just for the knowledge if I never take the test. Folks, I'm 66 years old. And if I can pass it, anybody can.
Well, Jerry, can you tell us, now you studied for the technician, you passed that, and then you immediately took the general class. How much more difficult was it, that general class test? Did it go pretty easy for you?
Well, let's put it this way. There's two questions that's on the tech that I cannot understand the verbiage on. It has to do with remote control. One of them's for remote airplanes and cars and that sort of thing. The other one has to do with the remote control of operator station. I know I missed one of those. The learning curve was in the tech. In my way of thinking, I missed four on the tech. I'm 35. I missed only two out of the general. So much of the general to me was redundant from the tech. I put in the website I went to. Keeps record of the hours you log in, and in 2 months' time, I think I had about 175 hours study time. That's from general study and then sample tests and this sort of thing. So any way you want to cut it out, about 60 hours a month, about 90 hours a month. So that's quite a bit. I spend a lot of time on weekends and what have you. But the point being is you're going to be watching TV, playing video games or something, especially if it's raining or something. Spend that time. The knowledge I got, Tom, was invaluable. It understood some things that made me understand some things that I never could understand before. But, like you say, Tom, the learning has just begun on that. I love the idea that you was talking about the netting that hams have. Here, 2 meter, you can really reach out and touch people because of repeaters and the number of people around here. and you can pass, have information passed on, especially people like back east now and the storms and what have you. If they can get to some other ham, that they will pass that information on, and it'll be across the country before you even know what happened. It's amazing. It's amazing the camaraderie that you have in the ham. I didn't realize it was that much. But anyway, I've been rambling around here. But I pass it, folks. If I can pass it, anybody can do it.
Now, Jerry, you need to start planning your station. And, of course, it's easy to get started on 2 meters. That's where most all of us start anyway. And you'll be able to talk with the local crowd and all that real easily. But start planning your HF station, and you get on the air, and you get in touch with me, and we'll get on and talk. I'd really find it very interesting to talk to you on the HF, one of the HF bands. Probably 40 meters would be good for us from Missouri to Texas. Do it all the time, and that would be really enjoyable. You're well on your way. You really are, and now you've just verified the how much studying it takes. It's you can sit around and play video games or watch TV, or you can study for your ham test. Take a few days off from that, a week, 2 or 3 days if you can, and start studying, and you'll pick it up. It's really not that hard to do. Did the test surprise you, Jerry? Was it simpler than you thought it would be, or harder than you thought?
Well, I went in with the expectation, expecting it pretty much be like it was because of the website that I used. They pulled random questions out of the current testing for both the tech and general. So I had a pretty good idea of what to expect when I walk in. I know there's people there that was really nervous. I just took it all in stride, and it surprised me how easy it really was. So far as I can, 35 questions for the tech and general, and you're allowed to, if you pass 26 of them, you're in. So I think that's 74%, something like that, 76%. I don't remember the percentage, but I went in understanding what to expect, and it was easy. You know, I enjoyed it. The VEs, the volunteer examiners, they were all friendly and accommodating, and the emphasis I should put on volunteer. They're not there to make any money. They're not there because they want have to be. They're there because they want to be, and they're out to bring more into the club.
Well, you see, nowadays everybody should realize that's looking into this that usually the local ham radio club that you may approach to learn more about ham radio and see what's involved to getting this license, you'll find out that they're also the ones that administer the test on behalf of the FCC. In the old days when I did all this, you had to go to the federal building and sit down with a FCC stone-faced examiner who would just stare you down. It was very, very intimidating. They were nice people, but Jerry, it was just very rigid, and it was not a relaxed atmosphere. It was a nerve-wracking thing every time I went. And but see, with the Ham Radio Club, these are people you've already gotten to know, and they're going to help you do study sessions and answer questions before you take the test. You go to the regular club meetings, you can call them on the phone, and you're having a problem with a certain technical issue or one of the sample questions. And these people are already there, and they're experienced with it, and they're going to help you to brush up on the areas where you're weak. And then when it comes time to take that test, those volunteer examiners are sitting there in the same room, and it's a very relaxed atmosphere, and they may have coffee or tea, sodas, whatever you'd like, and they make it as easy as possible for you. So you don't have to have that FCC examiner staring at you. They do it on behalf of the FCC. It's the best way to go, I think. and it's resulted in many, many new ham radio operators that were maybe not too willing to go through all that in the past. Well, it's so much different today, and the test has been made a little simpler because the equipment is pretty much plug and play nowadays. You don't have to have all the technical skills right off the bat. You can learn these as you go. So, Jerry, congratulations to you. I'm really looking forward to talking to you on the air someday soon.
Well, it is mutual, and, you know, I appreciate you coming on. And, hey, folks, Tom is volunteering his time to come on this show and talk to us about all this. And I could already tell that you're a wealth of information. And appreciate it. Everybody have a good weekend. We got a week's worth of rain coming here in Texas. I'm not looking forward to it. But anyway, everybody be safe.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Appreciate it. We got a break coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, Jared Moore here on Friday, the 12th of October. Well, Tom, we're down to the last 3 minutes here. It's been a very fast hour, as always. And we got some great information out here, stimulated some thought on the part of people. And hopefully will encourage them to take that first step to start learning what they need to learn to get their ham radio license. Right, Tom?
That's right, John. And look at what's happened very recently here. Jerry, who calls in often during these discussions, has been inspired by what we talk about, and he went forward and took the first two tests. I mean, he's a general class now, so he can get on the HF ham radio bands and talk all over the world. He can set up his own digital station. He could do Morse code if he wishes to pursue that. He'll use single sideband and talk to people all over the place, make a lot of new friends. And so Jerry's going to have a fun time. I'm looking forward to talking him on the bands. And, of course, we heard from the other ham radio operator via email in Texas who's interested in starting an HF net. And I know Jerry would want to be part of that as well. So we'll all talk and get something like that going. Of course, that gentleman sets it up at the coffee shop so that people there can listen to our discussions every Friday on this subject, and that's great. And that inspired two people in his group to get their ham radio license. So there's three new ham radio operators that we've helped out, hopefully, and helped them get started. And now they're on the air. It's John, that really makes my day. It really does.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Tom. And it's good to hear that and heartwarming to hear that. Well, we're pretty much wrapped it up for this hour, and we'll have Dr. Leonard Wilbert with us next hour. And, Tom, any final word for our listeners?
No, if you're interested, just keep plugging. Look how Jerry did. He studied. He spent a couple of months doing that, and now he is a general class ham radio operator. He said he'll go for the extra. That's great. It's not hard to do, and he just verified that. He did well on the test, and everybody else can do the same. And I always encourage everybody to get the young people involved. The 7, 8, 9-year-olds, they pick it up easily, and they pass their tests the first time out, and they will have a lifelong career in electronics. They'll learn so much if they want to pursue that. They'll have a very high-paying job when they go into the workforce because of learning via ham radio. It's an education on the air, and just working with the equipment, you'll learn so much. It's a great way to learn.
That's right. That's right. Tom, thank you, sir. I don't want to be cut off by the music. Appreciate you being with us as always. So let's talk privately soon, sir.
Thank you, John.
Okay. All right. We've got top of the hour break coming up here in less than 2 minutes. We'll be back with my personal physician, Dr. Leonard Wilbert. Brilliant gentleman, absolutely brilliant, knows this stuff, and he's on a quest to continue learning himself. I visited him with my Dr. Moore yesterday, and it's always fascinating. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.